Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we have a tough topic. We're talking about nourishing the human-animal bond, what that means, what's going on out there, what I'm seeing in my intuitive practice, my animal communication practice, what I'm seeing with my animal family, and out on the street, and I'm pretty sure it's what you're seeing with yours. And it's my opinion that we are shattering the human-animal bond with short-sighted thinking and practices, however well-meaning they started out to be. So we're going to talk about what's wrong with veterinary medicine, how it's damaging the human-animal bond, and how our everyday lives affect our animal families. What can we do about it? What's our responsibility? And how do we keep track of what's growing and changing and what's new in the world that helps us create better relationships with our animal families, keep them healthier, keep us healthier, and how does that translate back into how we live in the world? So, again, welcome. My name is Robin Fritz. I'm an intuitive and spiritual consultant and a past life regression specialist. I'm based in Seattle, Washington, and I work worldwide with clients who are looking for personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, past life, between life regression, spiritual awakening, all of the things that add to our lives. And as most weeks, you are welcome to call in and ask a question, ask me to look at something intuitively. Today, if you'd like to call in, I'd like it to focus on an issue with the human-animal bond. But I have a lot to talk about today, and so let's just sit back and get together and get grounded and balanced with the crystal Fallon. So imagine Fallon, a citrine Lemurian quartz, currently in the shape of a crystal ball. Imagine you're connecting with him the way your intuition works most strongly. You may see pictures, hear him chat, feel his energy, know he's there with you and connected with us in this hour. So just let go of the cares of the day. Imagine you're connecting to Fallon and with the Om Times community, and let's bring mind, body, and spirit together as we breathe down from the top of the head, down our face, our throat chakra, speaking our truth, our shoulders, our chest, our hips, our knees, and our feet, clearing out just the daily stuff, and now moving back up, filling you with healthy energy that is Fallon, moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. So again, today we're talking about what's up with the human-animal bond, and I've got some tough questions for you, and I've got some things for you to think about, observations I've made over the years and in the last few months here, and I'm wondering what we're thinking, what other people are thinking, what we're thinking, and how we can start to pull together the threads that I believe are threatening to rip apart our relationship with our animal families and expanding outward into destroying our relationship with each other. We need to be coming together, and things are keeping us from doing that. So what are some of those things? Well, first, as I went over today on Facebook Live, I live in a seaside beach community in Seattle, Washington, and last week a baby seal died over the course of a very long, hot morning, trying to reach tide, a minus tide well. At least a dozen and possibly 20 people stood there and watched, not for 10 minutes, but for hours, as a baby seal died on the beach. Another instance, a loose dog, a large dog, runs up to me and my dog, who's on a leash on the street. Now, it's a law here in Seattle, and actually a law pretty much everywhere, that your dog has to be leashed. I back my dog away, and my dog is 20 pounds, and he's terrified these days because so many big dogs are off leash and they run at us, or people let them come up to you, and when you back away, they keep coming. And I kept backing away. I yelled at the owner to control her dog, and she says, "My dog is well behaved." How much sense does that make? I don't know her. I don't know her dog. I'm going to consider a dog that comes at us off leash and keeps coming as a threat because we've been attacked so many times. So what's going on there? Why are people not thinking beyond, "My dog is well behaved"? Her dog is off leash. It could run into the street. Anything could happen to frighten it, to send it off into a frenzy, for it to get hurt, including the fact that it's illegal. Well, here's another case. My boy Ollie is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. He's the reincarnation of my Cavalier Alki, who died in 2017. And Ollie had a broken tooth. And it's one of those premolars with three roots that go way up into the jaw, so it was not a tooth that your regular veterinarian could take out. We went to a dental surgeon. And what did we hear over the course of our treatment? But we are a specialty clinic and we can charge what we want. And I'm like, wow, you know, how are we dealing with this? And I'll get into that here too. And here's another example. You know, people like me who work as animal communicators and then narrow that population of animal communicators down, there are only some of us who will take emergencies, only some of us who will look for lost animals, only some of us will help you and your animal when you're in crisis and you're at a medical clinic and you don't know what to do. I'm one of those people, so I'm in the front lines and I'm seeing things that are wrong. I'm seeing old arthritic dogs who are suddenly critically ill and they're subjected to surgery. Now, the surgery, as I know, because my own Cavalier faced this, is a result of cancer, hemangiosarcoma. And what we're seeing as a reality right now in our population of dogs is 50% of our dogs over 10 are getting cancer, right? And when they see these dogs with bleeding tumors, they pretty much know that it's the end of their life. And what do? They tell the owners, "Well, you know, you've got insurance, number one. Insurance will pay for a lot of this. Number two, your dog may live another 3 months with chemotherapy, so we should operate." Not telling them that surgery for a bleeding tumor, especially in an old dog, is so rigorous that surviving that surgery itself is problematic, and surviving it and having a quality of life for whatever time they have left is also problematic. So what I've seen is a number of clients losing their animals 3, 4, 5 days after massive surgery, and they were not told how handicapped their dogs would be, how crippled they would be, how miserable they would be, and in the case of these big dogs, how impossible it was going to be to help them do the simple things like urinate and defecate. And so the last few days are horrifying for the owner, horrifying for the animal, in extreme agony. Why? Why is this happening? And then translating it beyond the human-animal bond. So we don't look at, you know, you're thinking, "Well, I'm just worried about the human-animal bond." There are hundreds of thousands of fertilized human embryos that are frozen and being discarded. because people don't want them anymore. They've had their one or two kids and they don't want them anymore. They can't afford the fees, whatever. And it's like, what are we thinking? How is our thought process working that we're not thinking about what would happen to these fertilized embryos once we were done having our children? Nobody thought about that. And I'm like, that should have been one of the first things you think about. And we're seeing around the world wars, food shortages, rising seas, prejudice that kills, right? All these things creating a huge influx of refugees all over the world and seeing doors slammed in their faces. Here in the United States, our elected officials are doing what they want with the government, regardless of what they've been elected to do, regardless of what their constituents want, and they rig the system to deprive people of their votes. So here's the thing, we're not communicating, and we're not sharing, and we're not collaborating, and we're not doing this basic one-on-one kind of connection that's growing the world and growing our souls. We're stuck. And this has to stop. And I'm going to focus on stopping it by talking about what we're thinking and how that applies to the human-animal bond. So here's the problem as I see it. We have lost the capacity for critical thought. We simply can't think beyond the end of our noses. We lack common sense. We lack compassion. We lack basic integrity and morality. We are apathetic. We are confused. We can't think straight. And none of us intend for that to be. We don't intend for ourselves to lack all these things because truly, we think of ourselves as compassionate, respectful people. We think we're thinking correctly. The problem is, as I've thought about it, is our worldview. It's how we look at the world and how we're going to live in the world and how we make decisions for ourselves, for our animal families, for our human kids, for how we live together in community, whether it's a neighborhood, a city, a country, or the planet. And we're not using our intuition. So I talked about this on Facebook this morning. You can go to that. It's August 19th, Humanity Healing Page, or you can go to my YouTube page, Robin Fritz YouTube page, Worldview, Compassion, and Intuition. What I realized after talking with people who've made mistakes that I think are just impossible, like how could you think that way, is that we're not sharing a worldview. And by not sharing a worldview or thinking through what our worldview is, it isn't so much that we lack compassion or respect or common sense or integrity or morality. It isn't that we are deliberately apathetic, but we are confused. And we need to start figuring out how we think and learning from our mistakes and learning from other people's mistakes. I'm in the front lines with animals. I know what's going on. So let me talk about my dog Ollie and his surgery. Talked about the seal this morning on Facebook. And the issue is, how do we make decisions? What does a decision mean and how do we get there? And Ollie had this fractured tooth. I took him to a surgeon, and really, we didn't have a lot of time because they had an opening. We went on to Tuesday, and I said, I want him done first in the morning, whatever day we pick, so that I can pick him up early afternoon because it's a long drive through heavy traffic, and he gets horribly carsick, and I really don't want him to be that carsick on top of being drugged up from surgery. So they had an opening for the next day at 8 o'clock. So I said, fine, let's do it. Well, the surgeon comes in, she looks at Ollie and she says, okay, well, we need to do a full set of dental x-rays. Then we're going to take out his tooth and we're going to do a cleaning. Okay, so 45 minutes for the x-rays, an hour for the tooth, and half an hour for the cleaning. Maybe more than an hour for the tooth, because a three-root tooth and really deep in the head, and nobody knows if it's fractured all the way up into the root line, so it could be really complicated. And I'm not thinking, like a lot of us aren't thinking. And so what happened is she left the room, and that was all decided, and they walked in, and they handed me the bill. $2,700 to $3,500 to take out a tooth. And I'm like, well, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way I can pay for this. Like this, and it doesn't even make sense to me, you know. So I talked to my regular veterinarian. He was appalled. And I asked questions while I was still there in the clinic. And here was their answer. We're a specialty clinic. We can charge whatever we want. And they didn't say that just once, over and over again. So a drug they wanted me to give Ollie in the morning before I brought him in was twice what it would have been at my regular vet, because they're a specialty clinic and they can charge whatever they want. It's a simple drug. It isn't like anesthesia. So over the night, and I know we're running up into a break here, I decided that we were changing the procedure. Ollie was not getting a full set of dental x-rays. And it wasn't just because of the money. As I explained to her, the surgeon, and she just brushed it off, was that my dog has never been under surgery. He's an intact male. He will stay intact for the rest of his life because the research shows that early spay neuter is wrong. It's causing all kinds of diseases, and they claim it prevents. And it is not affecting the so-called dog overpopulation in the world, but it is affecting their health. So he'd never been subjected to anesthesia. So after the break, I'll come back, finish this story, and talk about where we're going and how we're going and what you might want to think about in dealing with your animal families.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about nourishing the human-animal bond, expanding that into society. So I was telling you about my dog, Ollie, having to have his tooth taken out. And while the vet was examining, I'm standing there thinking, we're talking 3 hours under anesthesia. I don't know how he'll react to anesthesia. And it didn't make sense for me for them to spend 45 minutes with him under anesthesia, taking x-rays, only to find out that he can't tolerate the anesthesia and they can't take the tooth out. I mean, come on, it's common sense. So the vet's first reaction to me is, well, why isn't he neutered? Are you breeding him? And I'm like, it's none of your business. No, I have no intention of breeding him. He's perfect. He's gorgeous. He's the most beautiful dog I've ever seen. On top of that, he's healthy, and he could add substantially to the breed pool, which is what his breeder wanted to do. But we agreed that he was going to just be Ollie. But he's intact for his health, and it's none of her goddamn business. So that kind of pissed me off, but, you know, whatever. The answer was like, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. So the next day I took Ollie in for the surgery, and two things had happened in the meantime. I'd been thinking about this, increasingly worried about how he would react to anesthesia, and decided we were not doing a full set of x-rays. Plus, hello, I work as an intuitive, so I talked to a spiritual team and to a spiritual guide who guides who are basically medical specialists who looked at Ollie's mouth and told me his teeth are fine. Okay, so I had an in, if you will. But it was just common sense. He's healthy. He's 4 years old. I'm not anticipating problems with his teeth. The fracture was an accident. So 45 minutes into what I thought was his surgery, I get a hysterical yelling of phone call from the surgeon who swears up and down she has to do this full set of x-rays, and the science indicates that 60% of the problems with their teeth are under the gum, so of course we have to do a full set of x-rays. Okay, so here's the thing. They're talking what science, what their research has indicated. Not once are they talking the human-animal bond. Not once are they talking about what I can afford. Not once are they addressing my concern that Ollie's never been under anesthesia and he might not do very well. Not once are they addressing the issue that I want that tooth out. Right? So finally, she's yelling at me. Three times she yells, "We're not getting rich here." To which I responded, finally, after the third time, deciding that being super patient was not working with her, "Well, Dr. So-and-so, everybody else thinks you are getting rich. And you are not doing a full set of dental x-rays on my dog. You x-ray the tooth in question, you take it out, and then if he's okay under anesthesia, then you can do the cleaning, and that is it." And I said, besides that, if you don't want people to think you're not getting rich here, then don't have your clinic staff repeatedly tell people we're a specialty clinic and we can charge whatever we want. And you know what, people? This is not just my experience. More and more, I hear people telling me that they are not going to bring animals into their family because they're terrified of the medical bills. Oh, my God. What is wrong out there? That you couldn't, it terrifies me being able to afford what happens to my kids. I've had big bills with my other kids. I know exactly what can happen. So they say, well, the answer is insurance. But is it? You know, what are you going to do with insurance? Are you just going to go ahead and operate? So the old dog that I was telling you about that got operated on, they said, oh, well, we can give him a couple of extra months. Yeah, insurance came in and paid $5,000, but the family still had to pay $1,500. And as we talked about it, their decision to go ahead with the surgery was partly based on the fact that some insurance would be kicking in and paying for some of it. But what they weren't thinking about until later was what it would look like for that dog in recovery and what kind of damage is being done to that dog's soul and their own souls as they watch that poor thing suffer over the next 5 days and realized that they would be facing chemotherapy or dramatically shortened lifetime because that cancer is not curable. But insurance will pay for it. Well, evidence-based medicine is only part of the answer. This is what the vets kept throwing at me. This is for Ollie, for his tooth. And I'm like, no, this doesn't even make any sense. So here's what happened next. Ollie comes home really drugged up, woozy, not steady on his feet. And I had to carry him up and down the stairs, you know, for the rest of that day and the next morning till I couldn't do it anymore. And I finally said, honey, we'll take as long as it takes to get up the stairs, but I can't carry you anymore. And he wasn't coming to. He wasn't waking up. And he wasn't peeing. I mean, you got to pee, especially when they fill you with so many fluids. So there are different things that you can look at in recovery. And I know a lot about that, unfortunately. So, yeah, anesthesia can keep you from urinating properly. So can dehydration. So can something going wrong after the surgery. So can a lot of things. All I needed to be seen by his vet. So I called the clinic. I told him I was taking him to my vet because I wasn't happy with his recovery. He wasn't peeing. He was still stumbling around. And she had yelled and screamed at me about how often I should give Ollie opioids for his pain. And I'd already backed off a little bit on those because he was just too out of it. So I take him up to my vet. I go to the bank. I come back thinking that they're evaluating him in the back office and maybe doing fluids. When my vet comes out and sits down, he says, my hands are tight here. And I go, like, what? And he goes, well, the other doctor is his veterinarian. And I said, no, I hired her to take his tooth out. You are his vet. I am his person, and we will decide what is best for him. And we decided that since he was fully hydrated, he did not need fluids, which was good. It relieved me. And we decided that what I had already suspected, that he was one of those who just retained it, but he also was getting too much of the opioids. So we backed it up and backed it off a little bit. He came more to himself, kind of woke up a little bit, and he started doing everything that you're supposed to do when you've got a lot of fluids in you. But what's the answer to all of this? And the answer is evidence-based medicine is only part of the answer. Your veterinarian is going to throw statistics at you. We can operate on this old dog and take out the tumor that the cancer is based in, but the cancer is already going through the bloodstream, so it's still going to kill them. It's just going to kill them a few weeks later. And I know that, and I will add here, if you don't know, that veterinarians are very high on the suicide list. I mean, it's a profession that a lot of people kill themselves in. And I know you're going to say, well, if they have to put up with people like you, Robin, but still, the answer is terrifying. 60% of the veterinarians out there are female, and a large percentage of the veterinarians are no longer doing like farm calls. They're doing companion animals, so they're euthanizing a lot of animals. And they got into the profession because they loved animals. So there's a lot going wrong there, a lot that we need to pay attention to. And aware of the statistics, aware of this huge number of veterinarians who are killing themselves, I'm very careful. And I was very careful when my other kids were nearing the ends of their life. I was watching out for the veterinarian's welfare as well as my kids. And of course, like a normal woman, putting myself last. But we got through it. And you can get through it too with the idea that you're putting your animals and your family first, and you're listening to the people who are supporting you and not quoting statistics at you. And that's a problem with some of these people. It's, this is the science. This is the information that we have. So therefore we have to do this. But if you can't afford it, it doesn't matter. And you have to make decisions on what you can charge and what you can afford and what you can put your animals through. And I was absolutely correct in saying I wasn't sure how Ollie was going to do, because he did not do well under anesthesia. And he did not come out of it as well. So I'm glad he wasn't out for an extra hour. As it was, it took an hour and a half to get that tooth out, even though it wasn't damaged up into his jawline. And it took a long time for him to recover and a long time for that hole to heal. So the human-animal bond is what's important, people. It's paying attention. It, you know, when my first Cavalier, oh my God, she had so many problems. Ironically, she also lived the longest of all of my three at that time, because I fought really hard for her to get well. And I learned so much about veterinary medicine, about trade-offs, about human medicine. I was getting well with her at the same time and exploring all kinds of things. That's kind of partly how I got into what I'm doing today, you know, just expanding my knowledge base into what other things could help, supplements and energy healing and, you know, dietary issues and all of those kinds of things that really are making a difference in our animals' lives. And there is so much information, it's hard to wade through it all. It's time consuming and exhausting. And you have to do it. You have to do some of it, because your veterinarians aren't going to tell you all of the things that are involved. Now, this old dog that I'm telling had major surgery for cancer after being assured that he would live for 3 more months. He died in 5 days. But what was even more criminal to me was that this old dog, who was suffering from arthritis, who didn't have much of a quality of life, or he didn't have the greatest quality of life because he was old and arthritic and, you know, going downhill, and they knew it. He'd also been a blood donor at the emergency hospital for a number of years. So he'd been giving back, and nobody at that clinic gave back to him, because they're relying on evidence-based medicine and not on kindness and compassion and not on love and not honoring the human-animal bond. They are not honoring the bond between you and your animal family. So you have to do it. You have to stand up for it. You have to say, no, we're not going to do this. Yes, we're going to do this. I don't understand. Explain it to me. And you make the decision. And you should be making it with your animals, too. And while you can rely on people like me to talk with them with you, you can also know what they're feeling. You can look at them and know. You can sit down and tell them, here's what's happened. Here's what's wrong with your tooth. Here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to take it out. And feel your way through the answer. And feel your way through what you can afford. And feel your way through what it looks like afterwards, so that you're prepared for it. So you're prepared for an animal who's disabled for a few days or for the rest of its life. Ask yourself what it's going to look like afterwards. As well as the first and obvious question is, how the hell are you going to pay for it? This is crazy. And then put all your preconceptions aside and start looking forward at what's going on out there. For example, this whole issue of, are you breeding your dog? No, I'm not breeding my dog. But the research out there for years now, many, many years, is showing that early spay neuter is the cause of cancer, arthritis, hip dysplasia, aggression issues, obesity, thyroid disease, and cancer. These dogs dying of hemangiosarcoma, like Mike Murphy died of hemangiosarcoma, may have more than likely, very possibly, gotten that cancer because we spayed them as babies because we thought it was the right thing to do. Now, I never fell into the trap of, well, we have a pet overpopulation problem, because we do not. We have a lot of animals in shelters. They're not necessarily babies. They're 2 and 3 year olds that have been turned in because the people didn't bother to train them. But the United States and Canada are the only countries with problems like the so-called overpopulation problem. And we are the only ones neutering and spaying babies. And everybody thinks we're barbarians for doing it. And evidence is showing that it's wrong. And now more and more veterinarians are standing up and saying, hey, you know, you don't want to do this early. So what are the protocols? There's almost no reason to ever neuter a male dog, period. And you take your females through at least 2 or 3 heat cycles, at least till they're about 2. Why? Because their bones need to develop. That's what keeps them from having arthritis. their hormones need to be involved. That's what helps keep them from having cancer. Do you know one statistic? Dogs, male dogs that get prostate cancer are more likely to get prostate cancer because they have been neutered. These are facts that you need to find out for yourself. Go to the holistic websites, search early spay neuter. You'll find veterinarians putting up little websites that'll give you all kinds of information on this issue. The problem is the shelter system. The problem is the people who are doing so-called rescue work that go, oh, the first thing we have to do is neuter all these babies because, hello, we live in a patriarchy and you're not smart enough to take care of your dog. Yeah, and not a single one of those people are with you in the cancer ward. I know, because I was there with my dog that I thought I did the right thing with and absolutely did not. So what are we going to do? You know, what are we thinking? How are we thinking it? What's the topic? What's happening in your families? Where are you with your animal families? I'm doing my best to keep my two animals healthy. Ollie's 4, Karis, my Russian blue cat, is 2.5. I'm doing everything. Food, healthy water. Cats are different than dogs. God, female cats go into heat and they like stay that way for forever until they get pregnant. So I waited until she was an adult and spayed her. And hopefully for the cat, it works. I don't know, because they haven't done as much research on cats as they could. But it was an issue for me. And it should be an issue for you. And yes, I sound like a lunatic when I say we should shut down every rescue and shelters in the country. The Humane Society, Best Friends, all the your local shelters, every single one of them that insists that you have to spay or neuter the dog before they give it to you, the cat or the cat. Because we know it's wrong, we know it's not healthy, we know that we're causing the problems that we have with them later in life. And I can guarantee you, since these people are money focused and they do want to get these animals out of there, that they'll change the system if you make them stop and think about it, if you make them confront their prejudices, if you make them stop and go like, oh, let's look at the research and see where that takes us. So we'll be back after the break to give you some tips on how to deal with these issues at home. Hang in there.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking hard things about nourishing the human-animal bond. You know, I'm passionate about the human-animal bond. I'm passionate about you having and your animals having the best life possible. And I've had to do a lot of research for my own animals, and I've worked with a lot of client animals. So like I said, I'm in the forefront of what's really going on out there with our animals, and it's sad. And I will say that people don't become veterinarians to torture your animals. They genuinely love animals. They genuinely want to provide. But this is where the critical thinking aspect comes in, and this is where I'm going to give you some tips on how to look at the human-animal bond and for you to pick them up or use them if they work for you, which a lot of them will. So the surgeon who worked on Ollie was quoting me statistics. She was quoting me the science. She was quoting me what they've done in research. She wasn't quoting me anything about how veterinarians worked with family and did the best thing for that dog, given the dog's age, condition, and the family's ability to care for them and their financial status. The ability to care is not just money. It's being able to lift, like my friend, a 90-pound dog. I'm sorry, a 75-pound dog, and help it go outside. When you're old and older than you were 20 years ago, and you might not be up for that. But everyone is quoting statistics, and this is what I saw yesterday in confronting the seal people down at the beach, the people who watched a baby seal die last week, not over the course of 10 or 15 minutes, but over the course of hours as that seal struggled, I think maybe 100 feet, crawled 100 feet to the water's edge and died finally, overheated. And the veterinarian came out finally after all those hours and pronounced it impossible to survive at the edge of the water. Well, of course, but nobody poured any water over that poor baby. Nobody tried to pick it up and take it to the ocean. And here's the thing. If it was a beach whale, you would have poured water on it. People would have been out there doing their best to help those whales get back into the sea, even if they were going to die. A deer, a raccoon, a possum, a fox, any of these animals that get hit by cars on the street, their babies, or them, if they're not dead themselves, they get picked up and taken to a shelter that rehabilitates injured wildlife. But there's a law that says you can't touch a marine mammal, or you go to jail and you get a fine. And I'm like, okay, fine, then arrest me, put me in jail, but at least give some mercy. And here's where we're having the difference, and here's where I realized, again, they're quoting me statistics. 50% of the baby seals die in their first year. Has no bearing on this particular seal. It's a fact. It's not this particular seal. So what are we doing? We're thinking in terms of science, and this is what we've been doing for the last 300 or 400 years. And I've said before, in past life regressions, I've seen people talking to their souls. That's what I do. I facilitate you talking to your soul, asking your soul about a previous lifetime. When that person in that previous lifetime is walking down a dirt road and turns around and stops and starts talking to themselves 400 years in the future, and they don't bat an eye because they have what we don't. They have their connection, mind, body, and spirit. That connection is intact. And we lost it because we surrendered it to science. Now, I love science. I love air conditioning when it's hot. I love my car. I love my refrigerator. I love all the wonderful things that science has given us, including the ability to save my animals from misery and pain, and the ability to help them out in a gentle way if that's what's necessary. I love science. But it is not the only thing that we should be basing a decision on. And when we do, that's where we lose compassion. that's where we lose respect for other beings and ourselves. And that's where we let ourselves down, and that's where we're not using our intuition, right? And our intuition is there, people. You're using it every single day. You're just not using it correctly. And by correctly, I don't mean you're doing what I'm saying you should do. You're not listening to what your intuition is telling you, so you're not actually using it correctly. You know, you can listen to your intuition and make a different decision, but if you're not listening to your intuition, you're not paying attention to it, and you're not using it correctly, because it's always giving you an answer. Okay, so what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? Well, science is part of the answer, but it's not the whole answer. And your first answer is your worldview. It's how do you view the world? Well, I spend a fair amount of my time talking to whatever's out there, from the local fairies to the wildlife to trees to people's homes to people's businesses to my car to weather systems. Everything out there is willing and able to talk to us if we would just approach it as an equal. I mean, why would you want to talk to something if they ignored you or they thought you were inferior to them? And that's where a lot of these beings are right now with us humans, because for the past 400 years, we've ignored them. We haven't listened to what our intuition is showing us about the world around us. We haven't listened to what our innate healing skills can tell us about how to live in harmony with all life. So your worldview, if your worldview is, well, I'm the human and I'm in charge and I can decide that nobody's going to intervene and pour water on that baby seal, well, then you need to go to jail. And I needed to be aware of that so that I could have done something for that poor little baby. And the response was, well, it would be horrifying for that poor baby to die in somebody's arms, frightened and not knowing who you were. Well, you know what? That is absolutely not true. And it's not true with your animals either. And it's not true with the other people around you, because we all know who the other person is. And if you look at your worldview is that you look at every being as an equal to you, that every being has a soul, it has consciousness, it has a job to do, a responsibility to do that job, and opinions. They are equals to us. And on an intuitive level, they connect with us. Then the correct and humane and honorable and soul-based decision is to pick up that baby seal and let it die in your arms if that's what it's going to do. But not to let it die in vain. And your animals. I'm lucky that I knew Murphy had cancer, because I made him x-ray her because I thought it was her heart, and I was distraught and I knew something was wrong. So we found it before she collapsed, before most of these guys. It's a life or death decision immediately, all of a sudden, when they seemed okay before that. I can't imagine how horrible it must be to face the end of the life when all you thought everything was fine 6 hours ago. But it happens. It happens with our humans and it happens with our animals. And we need to start practicing the love and compassion, the worldview that creates all life as equals, and the love and compassion and the intuitive connection with our animal families that you already have because you love them as family members. You just need to let it out. You just need to let it inform you, to give you information about how that animal is doing, how you and the family are doing, and how together you walk that last road. Because it is true that we can have soul-crushing experiences and lose our way, ourselves and our animals, if we can't handle what's coming at us. So those are all real serious considerations. So pay attention to science. Yeah, what can science teach me? But that is not the only answer. That is why the shelter system should be shut down. Because somebody decided that we have so many animals that therefore we have too many animals, and that everybody's being irresponsible and letting their animals breed. Therefore, we should take that choice away from them. The patriarchy needs to die and that idea with it. And the fact is, yep. People are still going to go ahead and accidentally have, or animals are accidentally going to mate and have babies. But the biggest issue is that people can be responsible and they do know. And they've, like, we have to prevent overpopulation, therefore we spay and neuter. That are two different things. They have nothing in common but bad science and bad thoughts. And people just fall into the trap of thinking that it's real and it's true, and that's what we have to do. We need to keep thinking. When somebody puts an idea out there, we need to question it. We need to ask mind, body, and spirit, what are the answers that we're getting from that? So be proactive with your animal families. Don't adopt an animal that's been spayed or neutered early. Eventually, maybe very quickly, if enough people say no, they'll change that system and we can still save those animals. Learn vaccination protocols. People are still routinely getting annual vaccinations, and we know that's causing cancer. We know that's causing health issues. Feed the best food you can. Should you feed a raw diet? Well, if you can afford it, maybe. There are a lot of questions involved in there. Now there's this whole grain-free controversy with a taurine deficiency in dog food, and they're pointing to 16 companies that produce these foods. Yeah, there are 57 dogs in that study out of how many millions that are fed dry food. Be proactive. Ask questions. Do the research. If science isn't giving you answers, what does your heart tell you? What does compassion and respect tell you? What is your intuition telling you? Let it out. You can do it. Interview your veterinarian as a partner, not as somebody who's telling you what to do. They're making decisions with you, not for you. Have fun with your animals, for God's sake. Make it fun. They want to have fun. Take time to play. What does the mind, body, spirit aspect of life tell you? What does your relationship with your family look like to you? Fire anyone who gets in the way of that. Talk to other family, animal families. If you have insurance on your animal, don't look at it as a blanket endorsement of doing complex things like surgery, because insurance is only part of the answer. The welfare of your dog and the welfare of your family is also important. So here's the thing. Let me summarize. We're going to make mistakes every single day for the rest of our lives. Hey, that's a given. We're going to learn from our mistakes. That is not a given. It should be. We need to go, okay, I'm going to learn from this mistake. And we need to question, and we need to find answers, and we need to go through it, mind, body, and spirit, not just science and not all intuition either. It's got to combine with what you know and how you learn things. Some people are way followers. They'll follow the crowd. They'll worship the demagogue. They'll hate. They'll live smaller lives. They'll learn maybe at some point, but maybe not until they get to the afterlife, and maybe not even then. But we still must try with these people. So I'm not talking just the human-animal bond. I'm talking about the people whose politics you don't agree with, the people who espouse hate, the people whose ideas are different from yours. Find a way to talk, to collaborate, to listen. I tried yesterday with the seal people, but they just started screaming and defending themselves when all I said was, explain that. Explain what you mean. Explain how you made that decision. Explain it to us, because that is not what I saw. Explain. Bubba, well, you don't know what we go through. Well, actually, I do. Because one of the things that I have to do as a animal family member and as a professional is to pay attention. Some people are way showers, and all of you listening to this broadcast are way showers. That's you. That's me. We question authority. We question the science. We question the answers. When it doesn't make sense, when it's stupid, when authority is short-sighted, when it's cruel, we, the way showers, are thorns in the sides of complacency, cruelty, and misinformation. So get some rest, work hard, and never stop loving yourself, your animal families, the people around you. We all make mistakes, but we can only correct them if we stand together. So thank you for joining me today. If you have questions, please email me at my website, robynfritz.com. That's robynfritz.com. I offer personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, past life and between life regression, soul progression clearing, spiritual journeys, spiritual awakening. I am here to help you be your best because we need you. The world needs you. Hang in there. Now, close down that connection to Fallon and send healthy energy to yourself. Remember, you are innately intuitive as well as healers. And carry on. Hands on your heart. Breathe deeply. Bless yourself. Bless your animals. Take care. Thank you and goodbye.